As we stand, let us pray. Loving God, be in my words and in all our hearts this day. We make this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. After two such extraordinary passages put together for our gospel, the feeding of the 5,000 and Jesus' appearance on the lake, I move to ask, how do you follow that? Two extraordinary tales which are central to the revelation of who Jesus is and what he came to show us. Each story rich in symbolism and dense with meaning, and yet each story very human too, with Jesus and Philip and Andrew wondering what to do, even if we're told Jesus already knew his own mind, and with the lovely detail that there was lots of grass in the place where Jesus was teaching, so the 5,000 had a good place to sit down. And then the little boy comes along with his 5 loaves and 2 fish, and he was a little boy, so I think we're justified in thinking he would have gladly agreed to share his food with all the others when he was asked to by Jesus. Of this scene, Jean Vanier comments, "All those hungry men and women and children eating as much bread and fish as they wanted, resting quietly on the grass and looking at the beautiful lake, sharing in little groups, chatting joyfully to one another." It's very human. And then the second story, the short episode on the lake, the disciples rowing against the strong wind and then afraid, and then their friend and teacher Jesus comes to them across the water, and suddenly all is well. You might wonder why we had both these episodes read together. Why not just read the feeding of the crowd or the rescue of the disciples on the lake? And the answer is that here, as I say, we have two core, critical moments in Jesus' ministry, and they belong together. The feeding of the crowd is recounted 6 times, or the feeding of a crowd is recounted 6 times in the gospel, once in Luke and John, and twice in different contexts for 5,000 and 4,000 in Matthew and in Mark. This is an essential story about Jesus, or these are essential stories about Jesus. The writers of the Gospels know that they need to include the story of how Jesus fed a multitude of men, women, and children. And feeding 5,000 people is, famously, the only of Jesus' signs which all the Gospels include. And in Matthew and Mark and in John today, the scene on the lake immediately follows the feeding of the 5,000. They are meant to be linked together. Because whereas the feeding of the 5,000 proclaims, "This is a wonder worker come among us. This is a prophet," as it says. "This is someone who transforms our lives, living with us." The event on the lake says, "And he is God with us." Of course, in another story in Mark, Matthew, and Luke, Jesus stills a storm from within a boat, having been woken from his sleep by his frightened companions. "Who is this?" they then say, "that even the wind and the waves obey him." In today's story, Jesus brings them to safety, but only after telling them who he is. He says, "It is I, do not be afraid." But of course, what he's saying isn't, "Don't worry, it's only me." Jesus is using a turn of phrase that's associated with God. He's saying, "I am." The intention of Jesus, the intention of the writer, is explicit. "This is the one who spoke to Moses, saying, 'I am that I am,' who said to Moses, 'Tell them, I am, has sent me to you.'" The intention of Jesus, the intention of the writer, is clear: to identify Jesus with the one who spoke to Moses out of a burning bush. Every time Jesus says, "I am," we should listen up. Throughout John chapter 6, Jesus is proclaiming, "I am the bread of life. I am the bread of life, and in the bread of life, you can know me." In today's reading, "Sitting down and eating together, you will know me." Today we are told that God has come to us as one of us, feeding us bread and fishes, given up by a little boy. And so the feeding of the 5,000 is, says Jean Vanier, a little taste of heaven. And while the Eucharist, the Holy Communion, began on Maundy Thursday, The feeding of the 5,000 relates to it, as does the wedding in Cana, I think, where the water is turned into so much wine. Jesus demonstrating God's presence among us and his abundant love and passionate concern for our well-being. If the feeding of the 5,000 is a little taste of heaven, then our Eucharist this morning is meant to be one too. Now, if you tell this story of the feeding of the 5,000 to children, then in my experience, some of them will think to themselves and probably point out to you that it doesn't make much sense. They're trying to work out, quite sensibly, how it could be done, what the mechanics of this miracle could be. And they think to themselves, it's impossible to feed so many with so little. It sounds to them like a conjuring trick, and they know that magic isn't real. But trying to think about this event in mechanical terms like that seems not to be helpful to me at all. And again, in my experience, if you talk to, say, a 10-year-old about what this story means, then you can see their eyes light up as they get a sense of what Jesus is doing here. They get a sense that he is transforming the lives of the people who are with him, that he is revealing God present in their midst, that he is establishing a community that will remember him and live inspired by his Spirit. And although the relationship between the feeding of the 5,000 and Holy Communion, or the Last Supper, is debated, in my experience, it is helpful, at least in exploring the meaning of this great sign of Jesus's, to put them side by side, to put side by side the feeding of the 5,000 and what we do when we celebrate Holy Communion. If we do that, then we see something of the inner meaning of today's reading. We talk of the coming of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost as the birthday of the church, but isn't the feeding of the 5,000 a starting point for the church of today as well? And Jesus is doing all this in an everyday way that speaks to the people's most straightforward needs. Jean Vanier says again, Jesus reveals a caring God, a God who is concerned for our well-being and wants us to be well, a God who wants us to be concerned about our own welfare. Do we eat well, rest well, nourish ourselves well? It is not just a miracle of multiplying food, but also of creating and building a caring community where people are concerned for one another. And so it seems to me that when it comes to anything we do, there are two different ways of talking about or describing what we're doing. There is what I might call a mechanical way or a technical description of what's going on, if you like. And there's the meaning of what we're doing. And it's common, perhaps, in our world today, especially, to think of the symbolic or the meaningful as somehow layered on top of the practical thing that's actually going on, the technical process that you're actually engaged with. And the feeding of the 5,000 asks us to remember it's actually the other way around. This story shows us that doing meaningful things or acting meaningfully is the basis of what we do. It's the ground of our existence. It underpins all the things we do that are worth doing. And I think we know this well enough deep down. For example, when someone gives a gift, we might say sincerely, it's the thought that counts. It's not the exchange necessarily, it's not the mechanical process of the giving, it's the thought that counts. Because actually, why do we do things? What motivates us to actually act to do things? We do things because we love and care for one another, because we care for our world, because we recognize our common sisterhood and brotherhood with all people, because we need to earn a living to support those closest to us and to support ourselves. Providing a technical description for anything we do out of love or care or concern or compassion or because we believe it's right just misses the point. In a way, a description of the meaningful things that we do starts and stops with the intention we have to love, to care, to support, to be kind, to do the right thing. No other way of describing what we're doing is very relevant or interesting. So if we start to ask about the mechanics of feeding a great crowd of Jesus' followers with 5 loaves and 2 fish, or the mechanics of Jesus coming to his disciples across the water, we're missing the point. And I do mean this. We need to be really careful and do our best to steer between two temptations that there are here. Either to say that feeding a crowd like this was really just to do with people being generous and suddenly remembering they had brought some food with them after all and sharing it with the people around them, or to say that it was some kind of magic. It was neither. It was a sign, a sacramental sign of God in the middle of human life. Many people didn't understand that then. That's why they looked like they were going to try and make Jesus king, to have him fill a role for them, a technical role they thought they understood. And it remains difficult to grasp now in the complicated and technical and demanding world in which we live. But still, it is what we must recognize in the feeding of the 5,000, as in Jesus coming to his disciples across the water, that these are signs, these are sacraments of God in the middle of human life, powerful and active. Amen.